It's all about believing in yourself. It's all about learning from your failures. It's all about thinking that you can do it. So that is the first step to succeed, right? So once you believe in yourself, then you will come up with a plan to accomplish what you want to accomplish. You know, it all starts from believing in yourself.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. It's Rick Nusky. It's so wonderful to have you with me on the show today. Your support, your feedback makes the show is as special as what it is today. So thank you very much for joining us again. Now, on today's call, I'm with Uma Vanka. How are you, Uma?
I'm good, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, Uma and I are going to be talking about IT transformation leadership and his book, I Am a Rockstar. But before we do that, Uma, I'd love to learn more about you, your background, and what you like to do in your downtime, in your relaxation time, is if there is such a thing.
All right. First of all, hi to all your listeners. My name is Uma Vanka. I am an IT transformation leader by profession, mm-hmm. and I'm an author by passion. I work for a company called TCS America. I'm a partner with TCS America. During my free time, I like two things. One is writing, two is traveling. So I pretty much either travel or write during my free time.
Fantastic. I suspect there's not a great deal of travel going on at the moment.
For the last 4 months, of course, I've been stuck at home.
Yes, we all have, unfortunately. But I'm sure that there are a better and brighter days coming for all of us, Uma. Now, your book, I've looked over it, and it's fascinating. You know, you've come from a perspective of writing it so that anybody can understand it. How important, when writing a book, is making it simple to read?
Right. Hey, Rick, before we dive into it, I want to make it clear that I'm here. I'm doing this interview at a personal capacity.
Of course.
You know, any views I express does not reflect the views of my employer. Mm-hmm. I just want to put it out there.
Sure.
So coming to the book, I do believe, you know, in the fact that I'm here to, you know, teach people, you know, the tips to succeed, not, you know, tips to master their English language.
Yeah.
What that means is I use a very simple or easy to follow, you know, language. And I also use a lot of examples because, you know, this book is all about success, right? A topic like success, you know, obviously the, you know, once you peel the banana, I talk about leadership skills, communication skills, deal making skills, branding skills. So these are the topics that could easily get boring. So in order to make it interesting, right, you know, these days it's all about user engagement. So in order to make it interesting, you know, I use a lot of examples, I use a lot of stories. So again, the feedback that I'm receiving is very refreshing. So, you know, looks like, you know, basically the intent was to make it easy and interesting to follow. And looks like that's what, you know, everybody who's reading is finding out.
It's a credit to you because I know that the process of becoming an author is often quite challenging. Was it natural for you to write, or is it a skill that you had to develop, do you think?
Of course, I mean, I had to develop that skill. You know, the first chapter I wrote was like 3 years ago. And pretty much everything I wrote within the first year and a half did not make it into the book. So obviously, you know, during the process, I was learning how to write, right? I was getting more ideas. I was getting more creative. So absolutely, it was a journey and it was a learning experience.
Thank you very much for sharing this insight. You touched on it being 3 years ago. How long did it actually take you to put this together entirely?
Right. So again, the overall timeline was 3 years, right. But then the majority of it, you know, I basically, I would say more than 50% was written within the last year. And then the last stretch, you know, maybe the last 30% or so was done after the lockdown. So, you know, again, one of, you know, with every catastrophe, right, again, I wouldn't even like to call it catastrophe, but, you know, I saw the opportunity, you know, during this lockdown. So that gave me a lot of time. So one of my two passions, which is traveling, is not possible anymore. So that gave me time to pursue my other interest, which is writing. Mm-hmm. So I spent, you know, I used all my free time to finish this book. So major, you know, again, a major chunk of it was written within the last, you know, the book was released a month ago. So yeah. a month prior to that is when I wrote the major chunk. But, you know, yeah. in total, it took 3 years.
Thank you very much for your feedback. Now, I wonder, when you traveled, what are some of the things that you find that are universal truths when you travel? What are some of the great things that you've seen and experienced that influence the way you think?
Right. So one of the things, so there are two, you know, a couple of things I look for when I travel to any new location. By the way, I've traveled to little over 50 countries. Actually, it is 51. Mm-hmm. And then something that, you know, obviously I look at, you know, new cultures, right? I experience the new culture. And there is a lot to learn from new cultures, right? I mean, meeting new people, understanding their culture. So that gives me a completely different perspective, right? Yeah. That's one. And then I also try to look at the leadership styles, you know, in those countries. I observe it, I analyze the leadership styles, and that'll help me, you know, kind of groom my leadership skills. So these are the two things, you know, other than obviously having fun and, you know, in visiting new places, but then yeah. I really try to enjoy the culture, you know, the cultural exposure I get.
Is there any commonalities between countries in terms of leadership styles?
Well, you know, if you zoom into the leadership styles, right? I mean, there are two types of leadership styles, right? There is democratic leadership and there is autocratic leadership. So, you know, most countries fall into one or the other categories, right?
Yeah.
You know, broadly. So, yes, there are a lot of commonalities, across various countries from a leadership perspective. Obviously, that is at a very high level. Once you, you know, get down to the details, things differ. But at a high level, there are a lot of commonalities.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing. These are great insights for the My Future Business audience, because they really thrive on leadership, negotiation skills, you know, success mindset and the likes. Now, when somebody steps into a role and they want to become better at a leadership role, what are some of the, I guess, the core competencies that somebody might need to have or develop?
Sorry, can you say that one
no,
more
no.
time?
No, no. When somebody steps into a role and they're looking to develop themselves professionally, what are some of the core competencies that they have to become a good leader?
Right. So if you purely look at leadership, right, how do you define leadership? So leadership is one's ability to, one, come up with a vision,
yeah.
right? Translate that vision into a set of goals, and motivate a set of people to reach those common goals, right? So if you look at leadership, it's really three steps. So the, you know, again, a good leader is the one who, you know, masters all three aspects of it. I mean, again, the coming up with a vision requires a broader thinking,
yeah.
right? And then, you know, translating that, the, you know, the vision into a set of goals, you know, there is a lot of science involved in it. And then motivating a set of people, it's a combination of art and science. So a good leader, you know, again, there are multiple leadership styles and there are multiple leadership types. In my book, actually, I unveiled a new leadership style called nuclear leadership style. So basically, it's based upon trust, a simple principle called trust but verify. It's actually a hybrid leadership style, you know, for if you look at democratic leadership and autocratic leadership, mine is a hybrid leadership style. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk about all the details behind it. But again, there are multiple styles of leadership. But bottom line, a leader should be able to come up with a vision, translate that into goals and then motivate a set of people to reach those goals and eventually to the vision.
And bring a set of people along for the ride. Thank you so very much. It's clear to me, Uma, that you're very passionate about this topic. And it's a very interesting idea, this nuclear leadership. Where did you come up with that from? Why did this come about?
Right. So again, as I said, the fundamental principle it is built on is called trust but verify.
Yep.
And that particular phrase became famous when our President Ronald Reagan was negotiating nuclear deal with Russia. So that is the origin of the name. But it has got nothing to do with
That's a great name. I love it. It's really smart. Now, in terms of the title of the book, I Am a Rockstar. I'd just like to deep dive into all of your ideas, because I know that there are aspiring book authors in the audience that love to learn about these types of ideas and these processes and how you come to be calling it this name. How did this come about?
Right. So I Am a Rockstar, simply means it reflects the concept of self-belief. So basically, if I believe I'm a rockstar, I am a rockstar. That's mm-hmm. really what the title means. So it's all about believing in yourself. It's all about, learning from your failures. It's all about, thinking that you can do it. So that is the first step to succeed, right? So once you believe in yourself, then you will, you will come up with a plan to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But, it all starts from believing in yourself. So that is the reason, or that is the meaning of the title.
Thank you.
It starts from there. And then, I will give them, methodology to, actually reach success. But that is the first step.
Wonderful. I always think about different, you talked about personality types earlier on. Is it possible for anyone to become a leader, or is that just built into all of us, do you think?
Very good question. In fact, when I discuss the topic of leadership, I ask, the readers multiple questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then if, some of them would definitely think that, why am I, learning leadership? Because I'm not a leader. That is not true. Everybody is a leader. Again, this goes back to thinking that I am a rock star. Everybody is a leader. The scale and the scope of leadership could be different. You may not be, some people may not be leading others, but they're leading themselves. Everybody is demonstrating leadership in some fashion or the other every day. Right, it's all about realizing one's leadership skills and believing that I'm a leader. That is the first step, and and then again, obviously, we all have the opportunity to tune our leadership skills on a day-to-day basis. Right, but everybody is a leader. That is the short
answer. It seems to me, as a parent, for example, I'm even if I'm not leading a company of people, I'm leading my children. I'm making decisions for them. So would a large part of leadership be about the decision making process, being able to make the tough decisions?
By the way, good point. That's one of the examples I gave in the book as well. Yes, I mean, if you're a dad, you are leading your family.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key aspects of leadership is making decisions. Good and tough decisions, right? But you're absolutely right. So that's, decision making is one of the key aspects of leadership.
It'd be an interesting process to work through when people come to that realization, hey, look, I'm actually a leader because I'm making decisions. And anybody who lives and breathes is making decisions, probably hundreds of them every day, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Now, when we shift gears a little bit, I'd love to start talking a little bit about negotiation skills as it forms part of leadership. Talk us through negotiation and how the book helps you, I guess, nurture that skill.
Sure. So there are two things that never stop in life. One is learning, two is selling, right? We sell every day. For example, if I'm telling my kids, if they don't like, eating vegetables, I'm telling them why they need to eat vegetables. That is selling. I'm selling them the concept of eating vegetables, right? My wife and I debate between, eating out at a Thai restaurant versus an Italian restaurant. And if I want to go to Italian restaurant, I try to convince her why I need to go to Italian restaurant. So that is selling.
Yeah.
So those are, that is selling at a small, smaller and day-to-day basis, in a smaller scale on a day-to-day basis. And obviously, if you are in the business, either at your work or in your business, you are selling. Selling is a part of life, just like leadership is a part of your life. So what I do is I provide some, techniques, right, or a methodology for selling. And then I can give you the highlight. Basically, selling is all about creating the momentum, right? So once you create the momentum, that is where the actual selling happens. So, but how do you create the momentum? Obviously, it depends upon the situation you are in, but at least, I provide some tips and tricks to create that momentum, which, significantly increases the chances of selling or negotiating.
This is great insight. What I'm starting to think about, Umar, is the fact that regardless of what we're doing in life, be it pure sales and marketing, we're having to do sales and marketing in leadership. That is a fascinating concept, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it's a very powerful one, because if you know and have this ability to, influence people, how important is having a leadership mindset if you have to influence people to come along on your leadership journey with you?
200%, very important. So, leadership is all about influencing or motivating people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's point number one. And then two, we already discuss that we are all leaders. So we demonstrate leadership on a day in, day out basis. So if you, join point one and two, influencing others is a part of life. How do you do it? There are various ways to do it. But yes, influence others, and that helps with negotiation, bring them your way. That is how they are motivated. And that's how you become a leader.
It seems like a domino effect, doesn't it, Umar? I wonder, in terms of, before we talk about communication, I'd love to learn about the people that are influencing you, some of the leaders that you look to. Who are some of the people that are impressing you at the moment?
Well, see, I try to learn from everybody around me, mm-hmm. right? For example, I learn a lot from my son. I learn a lot from my daughter. I learn a lot from my wife. I learn from my coworkers.
Yep.
I learn from political leaders. I learn from business, successful businessmen. I think everybody has something or the other to offer in life, as long as you look for it and you are open to learn, from other people. So I do have some, personalities I actually really follow, but again, I try not to give credit to one single person. Because I believe everybody has something to offer, and I try to keep an open mindset to learn from everybody.
That makes absolute sense. Thank you so much, Umar. Now, when I think about leaders, I think about those who have the ability to communicate effectively, either one-to-one or one-to-many. And I always come back to this, this vision I have of business owners, CEOs, actually getting their boots on the ground and getting involved with their team, the people that they're trying to lead. How important is it for leaders, do you think, to get amongst the troops, as it were, and talk to them?
Very important. So communication is one of the most powerful tool we have, right? And again, let's zoom into the concept of communication a little bit. In fact, I did a YouTube video on this topic because, actually two videos, just because of the significance of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So the better you are able to communicate, the better the chances of success. Again, we'll come back to the definition of success, right? The success means different things in
different
contexts,
yep.
And it means different things to different people. But communication becomes a key tool. And when you talk about communication, a lot of people think about communication as our ability to speak. But if you look at it, ability to speak is just one part of the communication process. Communication starts with listening, right? Actually, I compare the communication process to a you know, manufacturing process where manufacturing happens on demand. So a customer places an order, the raw material that triggers the manufacturing process.
Yep.
Raw material goes into the production unit, and it gets assembled at the end. The end product comes and gets delivered to the customer. Similarly, communication process starts with somebody asking a question, for example, right? And then, then the input comes into the production unit, which is our mind, and it goes through a very complicated, production process. Certain thoughts are produced, they're assembled and delivered to the listener. So that is the entire communication process. So it starts with the listening. So the key aspect to effective communication is listening. And how can you actually listen to people to your question unless you are actually involved with people? The more you are involved with people, the more you can understand, understand them. So understanding and listening is the very first and key step to communication, right? And then obviously your knowledge, actually more than knowledge, your wisdom is the one that helps you sharpen the processing unit to provide powerful thoughts. And the third step obviously is articulation of thoughts. That is important, but that is just one step of the process. So yes, you have to be as close to people as possible so you can understand them well, you can listen to them well. And obviously, you should be able to, you have to develop your presentation skills as well, but that's just one step of the process.
Yes, it can be quite deep and quite wide, this topic. I think about large organizations of which I've worked for in the past, and we're talking thousands, if not tens of thousands of employees locally, nationally, and internationally. When a leader has to work in that type of environment, and they're taking in a great deal of content feedback from their teams, they need to aggregate that data and make decisions. Now, leadership is one thing, but acting on it is another. Is that part of the whole leadership sphere? And how important is acting in accordance with your mission?
Right. So, first of all, you're asking excellent questions, right? And this is another topic that, I discussed in my book as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about large scale leadership, right, obviously you cannot do everything on your own and you cannot interact with everybody.
Yeah.
So again, you have to, create a structure, right? You come up with an overall vision and then you have your direct reports and you tell them what their goal is. And let them manage it from there, right? And then they will have their, their subordinates and then so on and so forth. But everybody, you trust your direct reports, but you verify them on a periodic basis. In the beginning, the verification process will be tougher and eventually you loosen it, right? And the same applies to everybody. And then the data or the feedback or, basically data as well as feedback comes from bottom up, and that gets aggregated and then it comes to you. And the effectiveness of the data analysis is what makes your decisions better, right? So that is where comes the technology, which can actually really help you in both collecting the data as well as analysis of data. We have these concepts called big data.
Big data.
So. Right. So we have the technology that can process large amounts of data. When you talk about large organizations, obviously the data volumes will be high. And then you have analytics built on top of this data to be able to produce the reports that you need to make decisions. And this data can actually go, you can take this one step further, right? Based upon all the data that you are receiving, you not only make decisions, but also you predict the future. That is called predictive analytics, right? So you use the data to predict what's going to happen. And based upon that, you make proactive decisions versus reactive decisions. So again, it's a part of it is leadership, but also deploying some technology to be able to effectively, you know, analyze the data and make decisions.
The statistics gives us eyes, doesn't it? It's a fascinating topic. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit because I know that leaders come and go, CEOs come and go. We are human beings. We move on. Now, how important is our focus on leadership development of those who we see who have potential?
Very important. Very, very important.
So is this something that they should have some sort of a strategic plan to make sure that it is happening in an organization?
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, if you are a leader, you grow in your life, right? If your subordinates are basically people that are working for you, are working for your subordinates, they grow. It's, you know, basically it's, you know, you get pushed up when people, you know, your subordinates are actually developing in their careers. So that is how it works, right? So you have a vested interest in actually grooming your teams.
Yeah.
And you know, and then also there is a famous quote, the best gift you can give to your organization is to leave the organization with, a, you know, highly qualified resources when you leave. So that's the best legacy you can leave. So grooming your team is absolutely important. It's not, it not only benefits you directly, but that helps you, you know, that benefits you indirectly as well.
This is such a wonderful call, Uma. You clearly have a lot to share, a lot of knowledge, real world experience. Now, when people are reading your book, is it a more of a open the first book, read it through to the last page, or is it more of a, you know, dog ear this page and go back to it, more of a guide? How do people consume this book?
So I believe it's, you know, it's more of a guide. I mean, they read it and then, you know, at least I can tell you how, I think every reader is different, but how I use such books is, you know, wherever I find something interesting, I underline it and I keep going back to it. So that's how I read such books. So I'm, you know, again, the early indication or the feedback I'm receiving, you know, confirms my understanding.
So I get the impression that there's more coming from you. I can just tell that you're a fountain of knowledge, and I think you need to convert them into more books. Is there any plans for you to continue writing?
I am working on another project right now. I'm working on a book. It's called "I Am a Little Rock Star." It is for kids, you know, who can read, so ages 5 or 6 and up.
Yep.
In fact, my, you know, I have 7-year-old twins. They are helping me write this book.
Fantastic.
Because these concepts, right? The, you know, the earlier in, you know, someone's life, you instill these concepts. More beneficial, you know, it is. So yes,
that's wonderful. It's so refreshing to see that somebody who is focusing outside of the, I guess, the normal education system and trying to instill upon our young ones, our up and comers, this idea of leadership. And you know, I wonder what else is going to be in there. Is it purely leadership? Is it about understanding, you know, the power of money early on? What else is going to be in this book?
So it's going to have, you know, it's going to be focused on, you know, leadership, confidence, which is self-belief. So really it's about self-belief, confidence. It will, you know, it's going to revolve around these two concepts, but also, you know, if you go to the next level, you know, we talk about the fact that, you know, everybody is different. You know, your friend has something, but you don't have, you know, you don't have it. That doesn't mean, you know, he or she is better than you. Everybody is a rock star.
Values.
So, you know, yeah. So teaching this fundamental, you know, principles of, you know, self-belief, everybody is equal. There is, you know, comparison has no value or no place in, you know, place in anyone's life and things like that.
That is such a wonderful thing that you're doing. Both books are worthy of getting your hands on now. For everybody who's on the show today, I'm going to be absolutely making sure that you have the links back to Uma. Now, Uma, when people want to find you and learn more about your books and the wonderful work that you're doing, where are they going to find you?
So my website is the best place to find me. It's umavanka.com. It's www.umavanka.com. V like Victor, A N like Nancy, K like Kilo, A.com, umavanka.com.
Well, there you go, everybody. That's exactly the link that you will find below this post. No matter where you find it, you will find the links back to Uma and his wonderful work. Now, Uma, in closing, I just have to say thank you so very much for lifting the lid on leadership and all of its components on the My Future Business show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.